Love music. Live sport. Just the Juniors with John Redmond and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Kicking off the show tonight, let's work together by Canned Heat. Good evening, it's Friday night, it's just after 8 o'clock, so it must be time for Just the Juniors here on Rock Sport Radio, where we dedicate a full hour to junior football. I'm John Redmond. Bill Kilgore will be back very soon, but he's still recovering from his surgeries now, so as always, I'll be joined by a special guest tonight to bring you all the news, the views, the opinions that surround the juniors in the next 60 minutes. As always, we'll have a packed show tonight, where we'll be looking back to last week's results, and hopefully looking ahead to tomorrow's fixtures. But before I introduce tonight's guest, there's a couple of managerial movements happening. Firstly, East Kilbride manager Alan Patterson has announced tomorrow's East Kilbride game will be his last one in charge of them, as he's leaving to become Cambuslang Lang Rangers manager. So, all at Rock Sport wish Alan all the best with his new club. Secondly, well, Albert management team, Jamie Nesbitt and Chris Dolan, they announced they'll be leaving their roles at the end of the season. I'm not sure yet what they'll be doing next season, but they've done a great job there, and it's with good wishes they'll leave that role, Albert, I'm quite sure. And finally, down to Ayrshire, Darvel, they've appointed Mick Kennedy, the Caldwell Park manager, into their route. So I think that's a great appointment for Darvel, because Mick has got great contacts through the amateur game and the under-21 scene, and that'll be a fantastic appointment for them. But that's all my Giro moves just now. So as I said, tonight I'm joined by another special guest from the junior world. Tonight I'm delighted to welcome as my guest St Roch's manager, Andy Cameron. Good evening, Andy, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, John. How you doing?
What do you make of these announcements of the managerial merry-go-round?
Firstly, for Nizzy and the boys at Royal Albert, I think what they achieved last season was incredible. Royal Albert haven't been in that division for so long. If they consolidate and stay in the division above, that's a really hard thing to do. And if they do that, wherever they're going to go, they'll leave us a success. I know the boy that's leaving, East Kilbride, and he's done a good job there. And I think he'll go in and settle Cambuslang. He's got an awful lot of contacts as well. Yeah. Also know the boy that's gone into East Kilbride, Gary O'Hanlon. Played against Gary.
I know that name.
Many years ago. He played for St Roch's, actually, at a point. Yeah. Played for some other junior teams. So I want to wish big Gary all the best, because he's taken a similar route to me, coming for the amateurs straight in the juniors.
Fantastic.
And Michael Kennedy, he'll be an absolute great appointment for Darvel. Known Michael for a long, long time. Coval Park are the benchmark in amateur football, as you know. They've won the Scottish Cup, I think, 3 out of the last 4 seasons. His contacts in the game are great, and for his first managerial job, I think Darvel have won a watch there, so good luck to Michael.
He's your amateur internationals as well, Michael, isn't
Michael's
he?
Michael's a captain of Scotland,
Scotland
Amateurs, yeah. He played for Drumchapel, I'm pretty sure he won the Scottish Cup with Drumchapel, then played for Coval before taking over for Jerry as manager, and he's done a really, really good job.
Fantastic. You mentioned there, coming into the game the same as you did for the amateurs, so a lot of listeners maybe wonder what your background is. Can you give us a wee brief intro to your background, Andy?
As I say to you before the show, I listen to the show every week,
and
I hear the other managers introducing themselves about their days in the juniors and seniors and where they started and where they played. I don't know if many of your listeners will have heard the Blockhearn Star, but that's the highlight of my career before coming to St Roch's. The background is Blockhearn Star, to be fair. Started out by my younger cousin Jerry Shoes, and I was there for day one, played for the club for 3 years. I then became the manager of the club, and it was a group of my mates. We became the most successful Saturday morning football club in Scotland, actually. I was the manager there for the first team for 5 years, won the Premiership a couple of times, and we created a good club there. But during that time, we also were able to get funding to get our own park and stuff like that as well. We started some community initiatives, and we had a really good relationship with St Roch's during that period.
Yeah.
After 5 years of management, I'd said if I don't want anything for 2 years, because we were really successful, I would step aside. And in my 5th season, we didn't win anything in season 4 and 5. I think we finished second in the league and lost in the cup semi-finals and stuff. But I stepped aside, and my young cousin took over the club, the team, and done really well. He won the Premiership the next couple of seasons. But after that, honestly, it must have been about 5 days, I thought, I can't walk away from football. So they asked me to be the chairman. I was going to bring in funding and stuff. And I decided I still needed the day-to-day stuff. So I started a B team. We have you to a feeder club for a feeder team for the first team.
First, yeah.
And it worked really well. We came on, we got the B team and then got promoted a couple of times. And during that time, the first team won the Premier League. And then the third season, it was going to be my last season at Blockhearn Star. I said to the guys that were on the first team who were doing really well, I'm going to have a go at this. Mm-hmm. And the B team, I was lucky enough, the group of players we got in, we had an absolutely fantastic season. I think we actually won 32 games in a row.
Fantastic.
For a Saturday morning B team, we went to a national semi-final and stuff. So it was a good days.
I mean, I know a lot of listeners listening in will be thinking a Saturday morning, that's done, but I've been watching the start of the morning and seeing it in the players explaining this, and it's a good standard.
Absolutely. I mean, the teams that were there when I was started out, there was teams like Winlaw and stuff who were the benchmark. There was Greenhills Dynamo, Tynecastle became a great side. But just before I left there, the teams like Whitefield Rovers. Mm-hmm. Now, Andy Frame was a manager, and he was there. In fact, my last game for Lockyer and Star and Andy's last game for Whitefield was the Strathclyde Cup final against each other. He went to Thornleywood, now at St Rocks. Saturday morning football, amateur football in general, there's a very good standard there. There's great players through all the different divisions, but I'm really glad to see the Strathclyde Saturday morning league doing so well. They've now got about four or five divisions, and I think one of their teams, UB United, got to the West Cup final last year, so that's a great achievement for that team and that league.
Fantastic. As you said, you moved into St Rocks in 2014, which is almost 5 years ago. In your 5 years as a manager, what do you think your greatest achievement's been in the junior game?
I don't know if you can pinpoint a single event. The day that we got promoted against Wishaw was special for me. That was just last May. As a single event, that was probably the biggest achievement. That day for me, I'll live with me forever. I'll tell you the quick story. When we went to St Rocks, the fan base was maybe up to 20. The guys are still going along. The club was maybe needed reinvigorated. It was a sleeping giant, to be honest with you. But I needed, so the day that we played Wishaw, I was walking up to the game. If we win the game, we're getting promoted to the Championship. Halfway up Royston Road, motor stops to pick me up, and it's Berry Auld. Berry Auld takes me up to the park, drops me off. There's 100 kids on the park playing. We go and beat Wishaw 2-1, and there's big celebrations with about 600 people there. And that moment, I thought, this is really great. But I wouldn't say that's an achievement. That was an accumulation of things. And I would say the big success would be, and managers understand what I'm saying, it's been year on, this is my fifth season, it's been year on year success. My first year there, when I went in, the team was second bottom of the second division the first year. The year that we joined. We managed to get promotion in year one, and then in year two, the team hadn't went up to the old first division and stayed up for something like 39 years. So we went up and stayed up, we finished fifth that season. The following season, we looked to get promoted and unfortunately finished third in that division, and we just missed out on promotion in the second last game of the season. Last season, our target was to go and win the league, and we missed out in the very last game of the season. Port Glasgow played Rossville, and a penalty in the last minute decided Rossville won the division, and we finished second. So we went year on year. We're now in the Championship. People will probably look at us, and as you progress, expectations rise, as you know. So people will look at the division just now. We've played 17 games and we're on 23 points, I think it is. But I had a wee look before I came out of the show tonight, and the two seasons previous to us going into St Rocks, the club had only won 7 games in 2 full seasons. So if you look at where it was and where we are now with 7 wins in the Championship, and if we could get a result tomorrow, 3 points, it would mean in this part of the Championship we'd have more points than the club had got for the previous 2 seasons before we went in.
And not only the part, both the parts really impressing me as well. It's Andy's behind, which I'll come to in a minute or two, but we'll stay on the part just now. And how happy are you so far with your season?
Last week was a big event for us.
Huge game.
It was a moment that
great achievement to get to that, Steve.
Well, you know, when you asked about the season, we've had targets every year, and this is the first season that we've made this conscious decision that we'll look to consolidate in the division. The reason for that is our target will be to get the Premier League next year, and there's thinking behind that. Thinking is that if we get to the Premier League this year, if we would have invested that wee bit more, got the Premier League next year, got into our centenary year, which is 2020, we would have had a very difficult season. So what would the icing on the cake for us would be to finish the centenary season getting promoted to the Premier League. So we started off to consolidate. The probability is we might have brought in too many players that never did any experience of junior football, never mind the Championship. So the season never started too well. We got to probably about October and made a conscious decision to make reinforcements, which we did. And funnily enough, we made a target of winning the Scottish Cup final. Now that sounds mad to people out there, but in my mind, I thought, if it gets us 4 weeks to 4 weeks to 4 weeks, getting to the next round, it keeps our season alive. And it probably worked. And by the time we played Larks last week, people are telling us it's an achievement. Every single person in their dressing room, myself, the guys on the committee, and more importantly, the fans, we're really disappointed that we lost last week.
And that's amazing, isn't it? I can understand why you'd be disappointed last week, because you went down to Lars the previous week and got the draw, a 0-0 draw, and Lars are a good side this season.
It was one each. We went down. There was moments, and Lars are a better side. They're a very good side. They should be a better side than us. Over the two games, they had 80% of the ball. We played a different game against Largs for the two games, consciously, because we knew how dangerous they could be. But the first game, we're 1-0 up, they score with maybe 20 minutes to go, and there's wee moments after, then they get the guy sent off, and in the last 5 minutes, we've had a couple of wee sniffs, we could win it. But last week, see, we talk about moments in games and how adrenaline changes things. Yeah. Last week typified everything about football. We're back to the wall, we score after 30 minutes, 1-0. Then we get a man sent off, 43 minutes, so we're 10 men. Going into the second half with the wind, I think we might have won. Uh-huh. We get to 68 minutes, we make it 2-0, and that was a moment I'll never forget. The whole place are up, so it was 600 or 700 people there, mm-hmm. plus loads of kids, it was bouncing. And then we go another 5 minutes, they make it, sorry, just before that, we go 1-1 with the goalie. Ryan McManus is listening to this. he's a great wee player, but he misses that great, great chance to make it 3-0. That'd been dead. They score 2. Only 81 minutes. We've then got another 1-1 chance. They got a part, make it 3-2 with 5 to go, and we go for it and they pick us off. But to be fair, Largs are a very, very good side.
Very good side.
I wish them well.
And I think that's the difference when you see teams come in, that when you get teams like South, like Talbots and the Largs and that, you've got to take your chances when you're on top of these teams, because
absolutely,
they come back and haunt you.
Absolutely.
You know, so, but you've great credit to your side for what you've achieved so far in the Cup run this season. I did touch on there about off the park stuff, and I'm really impressed by some of the stuff that's happening off the park. Can you give examples of what you've been doing recently? And just before you come in there, I've got a question to ask. I remember years ago sitting here, we're talking about the juniors, and St Roch's were kind of down at the bottom at that time and really struggling. An announcement was made by myself or Bill Cogill that you'd brought a 16-year-old boy into the committee, and that was brilliant, because that's great new blood. Is that chap still involved, or has he moved on?
Wee Ryan's now 22, and he's probably got a couple of more priorities in his life, to be fair. He still comes to the games. Listen, there's fans' representatives on. We restructured the club at the start of the season, and rather than having a committee, we now have a director of operations, Stevie Mullen, who's runs a club, basically a great guy. But what we've got now is, if we've got certain projects that need done, we've got people to lead day projects. So rather than having people there expecting them to do everything, there's certain tasks we'll get maybe people who are professionals or experts to help us out with the mm-hmm. particular tasks.
And how do you manage to raise the funds for that? Is it just
for the community?
For the community stuff, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. if you look at where we live in an area of high deprivation, the demography where we're based, there's a lot of poverty and stuff like that, there's a lot of social issues. So there's people out there who need the stuff done. For example, there's certain strategies around about health, there's strategies around poverty. So there's funding out there to deliver these things. Yeah. So if we look at, for example, the football academy in the summer for kids, when that started out, we've got like 200 kids who are coming up 5 nights a week in the summer, and they get free coaching. But on top of that, what we also do is fitness classes for the parents. We also do healthy eating and invite other people in to meet the parents, so that you use that event to be able to engage with other people in the community. There's a homework club. That's probably the icing on the cake in terms of the stuff, because that gets the most recognition. The homework club, there's a couple of guys come in for Glasgow University, and when kids are studying for maths and physics higher, they come in and they get support with that. Now, when that some of the stuff that came on, I wasn't sure, but other people have took them and took them as champions, and they've flourished. So the message I would put out to other football clubs is, there's funding out there to deliver these activities, and a lot of people will ask the question, well, and quite, I can understand why they ask the question, why would we do that? And the answer I would say to them would be that there will be return for your club. If you look at the two things that I've mentioned, right, there's much more community activity I can go into if you get more time. But
well, what we'll do, Andy, we're going to go to a break, and soon we'll come back. We'll hear about this discussion.
Okay.
Love music. Live sport. Just the Juniors with John Redmond and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Welcome back to Just the Juniors with myself, John Redmond. I'm in conversation with St Roch's manager Andy Cameron. And Andy, before the break there, we were talking about your off-the-field activities. Now, at this moment in time, normally on the programme, we'd start to look back at last week's results and look forward, but this is so interesting, I want to spend a bit more time on it. So could you get in a bit more depth of some of the other stuff that you're doing off the park?
Of course, I'll tell you some of the projects, and then I'll go back to mm-hmm. the part that might be of interest to the other junior clubs, I suppose. Some of the stuff we're involved in, there's Monday, Friday, there's 20 young people come in and do some construction work. They get experience, the work experience, doing the concrete. It means that when they then go for interviews, there'll be a better chance of getting a job. But the club benefits for that because our whole stadium has basically been restructured. And on top of that, some fans recently built three enclosures. So the stadium between in the last 4 years is night and day, but that started for that community programme. Uh-huh. The homework club I've mentioned, when it was first mentioned, I thought kids from Black Hill, Royston, Germiston, Burmullock and Ballonlock coming in and doing maths and physics higher homework, I thought that won't fly. But the guy who introduced it knew it would, and we've had outstanding successes on that. In fact, there's a young lassie who went to Cambridge University from St Rock's Secondary School for the first person ever who was one of the first to come along to your homework club.
So is this St Rock's thing, or was this the councillors?
No, this is us.
Yourself?
I was involved in... The first day we went into the club, and when the committee changed, when we were there for about 6 months, so the guys that I brought in, Wayme, Stephen Mullen in particular... We look to change the constitution. The constitution of St Rock's first line says that if there's any individual or local community group, come to us and ask for help, and it doesn't cost us financially or reputationally, the answer must be yes.
Good.
So we're there to help people. So we do all this stuff. There's walking groups. There will be an extension of the Summer Academy to look at other holidays where kids are undernutrition through the holidays. We'll look at getting them a meal and stuff like that. But all the things that we've done, people tend to ask, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. And the answer I would give back is that there's twofold to the answer. First it's if you look at community work, the two big ones, the Football Academy and the Homework Club, when we're putting in for funding for that, mm-hmm. and we say to the funders, we're looking to put coaching on for 160 kids during the summer, we're going to have 10 coaches. Yes. Well, they coaches need to get a shower and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So it's part of the funding. We need to upgrade the showering facilities and the dressing rooms. And when we're putting on the homework club and any other activity that needs a healthy meal, then on top of the funding, we need to make sure that our kitchen area... So the whole St Rocks Football Club has been reinvigorated inside, and that's a result of some of the community work. But in terms of the football team, we get community work, it increases support for people that were never mentioned to the club. It means we get better facilities. Better facilities, people coming along are more likely to come back. The people coming back recognising stuff we do means our social media presence gets bigger.
Yes.
I think we've got 7,200 odd followers on Twitter, which is the third in origin of football.
That's amazing.
So that gets us more supporters. And ultimately, if you look at where St Rocks are now, we've got 140 season ticket holders. For home games, we're guaranteed between 150 to 250 people. For away games, there's 100 people. Core St Rocks fans go to every away game. So this is a result of, because of the fans coming through the door, because of the increased activity, we've been able to, over the 4 years, invest in the team. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the more we invest in the team get better. So it's a cycle.
Self-financing.
That's
fantastic. Doing it true, and we're doing the same. It's make a social club so we don't have to keep going back to chap those. In this day and age, new sponsorship is very, very difficult to get. And you've got to be self-financing now, and this is amazing stuff these are doing. Because yourselves, and there's another club in New Mains who... They've got an initiative there. I thought it was fantastic.
That's a great idea.
The senior clubs are not playing. The season ticket holders are in for free.
It's a good idea.
So,
well, I think any relationships you can have with senior clubs is always going to be helpful. And I've seen the stuff New Mains do. So as I say, when I went in, we'd done that. But most of the community activities now driven by... We've actually got a St Rocks Foundation that's separate to the football club. Yep. And Stevie Mullen is the person who drives that forward. So it's working really well.
Oh, yeah, it's very good. And it's great to see that the local people are getting behind you as well, and they're turning out on a Saturday, and it's shown on the park. I mean, as you say, five seasons and you're progressing every season, that's the way it's got to be. It's the building a house, you get foundations right and the list comes along with it, and it's great. So anything else that you can touch on before we move on to it?
Oh, no, yeah, just what you can actually see in terms of the progression of the team. Uh-huh. The people that come on board with me, the most important signing any manager's ever going to make is assistant managers and the guys on the bottom, you know. So when I come in, the most important people for me has been guys like Duffy and Chris McFadden, James McKnight, Gary Hoot and Stevie Wayman the new. And then after the part, you've got guys like Stevie I've mentioned, Big Ken and Gillian, the physio. There's loads and loads of other people. But I think you can see the players that St Rocks have signed over the last 4 years. Yeah. You can actually see the players that the clubs we are signing those players from, sort of as a correlation in terms of the progress of the club. Yeah. So I could mention some of the, and I know you're struggling for time, so I won't go through the important signing we've made over the year. But when I first came in, almost all of the, there's a couple of guys there who are still there who have done really well. In fact, one of them scored his 100th goal just a couple of weeks ago for the club with a wee presentation from last week. In fact, there's two boys that started last week, Jordan Logan and Kieran Martin, who've been at the club since I got there. But when I came in, we signed amateur players. Mm-hmm. We never had any contacts. Mainly people from Blockhead and Star that came in and they got promoted in the first season. The second season, when we made the ambitions of staying up, we looked at players. I'll see a couple of names. I've got loads here, but I know you're stuck for time. There was a couple that stood out in season two, and it was Kenny Jarvis came in for Rob Roy, and that was the first guy we signed for another junior club.
Yes.
And then John Sweeney came in for Pollock.
Oh, big Sweeney. Yeah.
Aye, so
good signing,
what that happened then was we managed to get staying up in the division. The following year, we set our targets higher, and we start signing guys like Johnny Carter, who was a captain of Rob Roy. We bring in Kieran Daw for Clyde, we bring in Big Chucky for Clyde. Mm-hmm. During the season, Steve McDonald and guys like Jordan Housman and Stephen Logan are getting released for Shettleston, and we're able to pay the money that they need. So there was all of that happening. The following season, when we say, right, we're going in to win this league, the people were signing is Tam Hanlon and Beto. You're signing Paul Tierney, Ross Dixon. So this is guys from Pollock, Cambuslang Rangers, Blantyre, Shettleston when they were in the Premier League, and then we're signing people for Clyde and stuff like that. This season we looked to consolidate, and we brought in about 10 young boys who hadn't played junior football before. We needed to improve those, so we've recently brought in Eddie Ferns from Clyde, who's made a massive improvement to the team, and we've now realised that we're at the Scottish Cup, so we actually need to now start thinking about next season. We need to start thinking about promotion to the Premier League now, and we've in the last week signed the Kinlan brothers for Queen's Park. Dean Kinlan signed last week, and we managed to secure Daniel Kinlan yesterday.
Fantastic. Boy Ferns is getting good publicity as well. I mean, he's done very well. I'm hearing good reports from him. So obviously you're looking to get these boys in long-term contracts.
To be honest with you, if senior clubs come in for them, our ambition would be to get them moved on.
But fair in your cap if that happens.
We would be looking to keep them in and be part of the plans for next year. But you know, I've mentioned the guys, and I shouldn't. It'd be churlish of me not to mention other guys who made big contributions. I mean, during seasons, all the guys for the budget made. The first guy we signed for amateur that was outside Blockhead really was Big Babuka Musa, done a fantastic job for the club. We then went on and signed other people along the way. But guys like the big changes for me were Rob Maguire, John Stark, and Stephen Bryson coming in their second season. And what we've done is they were really good amateur players, and they've come through as the journey. They're new championship players, and these guys are getting better year on year. So it's only good for us.
It's very interesting that, because I don't know, you listened last year speaking to Tucker Sloan and asking the question about who he thought was his best signing. Mm-hmm. And Tucker, first and foremost, was kind of, I'm not too sure, I don't want to put anything about it. And what I thought was it's the largest manager, Yarnley, mm-hmm. he's signing from Troon, and he was out. And that's interesting you're saying that. It sometimes makes a signing to turn the whole club round about, a good signing, the right signing. Not necessarily a big money signing, but somebody with the attitude and it fits into the dressing room and fits into your thoughts as well.
I'd need to reinforce, but just the, my last thing about, when I got offered the St Rocks job, I was still at Blockhead and we had a season to win. Similar to Michael Kennedy's situation just now, and I asked three people to sign for me before I went up to St Rocks, and it was Chris McFadden, who had been a Scottish Cup winner with Bathgate previously. Yes, he came as a coach, player coach. Robert Duff, who had played junior for the Rock for 10 years, came as my assistant manager. He was my captain at the Budgie. And I brought in TJ McCluskey from the B team, who scored 54 goals the season before. He's been unwell recently, the boy, and I just wish he could get back to football. Mm-hmm. But my most important signings since then have been Gary Flint, who's the assistant manager and coach, and Stevie Rankin, who's now the joint number two at St Rocks. Now, if you'd have said 5 years ago Stevie Rankin was going to be my assistant manager, I'd say you're off your feet.
Exactly.
Stevie's done in game, and he's a fantastic influence.
But you've got to take credit for that as well, because these guys are obviously respecting what you've done, Andy. And for Stevie Rankin, it's a coup for Stevie to go in there and help you out with his experience.
I've taught him a few things, John.
Oh, that's good on you, Andy. Always stick up for yourself. But I was right in saying you, I don't know if you saw that, you were chairman as well at one time.
I was on the chairman. I was the chairman of Blockhead and Star for a while, but I've been on. As I say, we work a wee bit differently at St Rocks, and it's really all hands on deck. I've got a lot of experience in certain things that hopefully I bring to the table. But the guys who, look, there's guys like Billy Reid, and as I've mentioned Big Ken, they guys are the guys who are doing things week on week.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, Andy, thanks very much for that. That's very interesting, and usually, Andy, I don't, you listen to the show, so I always finish with a song. Well, tonight's song is going to be very, very unique and very, I don't know how to put this, it's going to be a song from the Wakes, and it's called Football from the Heart, and this is St Roch's official song that was recorded for the club. So listeners, look forward to listening to that at the end of the show. But Gandy, that's fantastic stuff, and St Roch's are doing great, and keep up the good work, Bill, on that side. So let's look back now at last week's results in the West Region. We'll start off in the Premier Division, Andy, and Beath got a good 2-0 home result against Renfrew, but Beath's a difficult place to go, so I know Renfrew are looking for points in that league, but Beath's not the place to go when you're looking for 3 points.
Well, John, after what happened to us against Largs and us losing the man before half-time, as a avid listener to the show, I'm the guy that listens every week.
Right? And you're Sunday, I'm the one. I've found them at last.
I looked into some of the games, and sorry to look at the score, and if you look at Beath 2 or Renfrew 0, you think you'd expect that. Uh-huh. However, in that game, it was an own goal by Big Rhys McGillion in the first half. The second half, Beath got a penalty very late on, and Renfrew finished with 9 men. Yeah. So I think Renfrew will take a wee bit of spirit out of that result, and I'm pretty sure Colin and other guys will go into tomorrow with a wee bit of confidence.
Fine, yeah. Cumbernauld Juniors, they couldn't buy a result for the last few weeks under Paul Burns. Now, Paul got his first victory against Cambuslang Rangers last week, a home 1-0 victory over Cambuslang. But I've got to take my hat off to Cambuslang, because I think what they've been through in the last 6 months or so, and we played them ourselves in the Scottish Cup 2 or 3 weeks, beat them 1-0. They've gone down to Cumbernauld, who are a decent side this year, and we lost 1-0. And to get a new team in there in such a short time and compete, it's not a bit of credit to that club.
The last week's result again, on paper it looks as if Cumbernauld, I know that I've heard you mention before about Paul Burns, and I've seen him play. He's a fantastic player.
He's a great player, yeah.
But last week's result again, what you might not see just looking at the result is that Cambuslang actually finished that game with 9 men as well. So you're going as a 1-0 result, and they find themselves perilously, now you'd say, at the bottom of the table. And as the weeks go by, if they keep losing, even if it's 1-0, they look like they might be coming down to join us in the Championship.
It's like that. But after being through, I think it's maybe a good thing for Cambuslang if they maybe have to get a step back or to regroup and go forward again.
Definitely. I mean, I don't know all of the players they've brought in. I know one or two, and I know particularly the boy Chris Tracy, who's in goals, fantastic goalie. He was with us 2 seasons ago. And what they're doing is they're bringing in boys who have got junior experience, but they're maybe not played for a wee while.
Brilliant. And as I say, we've now appointed Alan Patterson as manager for next season, so there's a bit like yourself, they're looking forward to looking back. Fantastic. Glenarfon Athletic 1, Cowan Rangers 0. It's always going to be a tight game, two good sides, but Glenarfon were boosted during the week by getting handed. We're talking about Cambuslang, they got the 3 points awarded to them for the game that was abandoned, so that's in our 3 points in Glenarfon's bank for the promotion push for top of the league. But that was always a tight game. Cowan Rangers on their day are a match for anything, but it's a hard place, Loch Park, to go down to and get a victory.
I've never been. In terms of Glenarfon, I've got a wee story about Glenarfon. When I first came into St Roch's, we were trying to play football the right way, and we got maybe 3 months in, and we were sitting probably about second bottom of the table, and everybody kept saying to me, you need to change the way you play. Mm-hmm. And we played Glenarfon in the West of Scotland Cup, and the best thing that happened is we played Big John McCune's team, and they beat us 4-0, and they played football all day long. And I thought, you can date in juniors. So I've always had a wee bit of respect for Glenarfon, but I've got equally or more respect for Chris Dane. I think he's a great guy, a great manager, and he's doing a fantastic job down there. But that's a good 3 points for Glenarfon. I think it was quite tight and on. The boy, Dan Ossie, got the goal in the second half, so it was a tighter game.
Good player, Big Dan Ossie, for him, Rob Roy, they were playing entertaining Avermaedo, who are the form team just now. Brian McGinty had on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we were speaking about the poor start that Brian had made to the season, and all of a sudden he turned his roundabouts in Christmas time. I think some like 8 or 9 the bounce undefeated. And to go to Guy's Meadow Stadium and beat Rob Roy 2-0, that's a bit of line in the sand, as far as I'm concerned.
They're the form team in the division. They've won 5 of the last 6. It was a great result. I heard Gintz on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he's turned them around really, really well. But again, it shows, and I hope my players are listening here, it shows the importance of discipline, because there's 2 yellow cards for Mick Daly during the second half, and they're already a wee bit hamstrung, a wee bit, Rob Roy, when they've got Ramage, wasn't he, available, they've got Sweeney's on the bench, and Wally Sawyer's out, Big Wally's out, it's always hard on it. So Irvine Meadow, great result for them, and Gintz will be really happy. But I've got a lot of respect for Maxie and Chris McFadden up at Rob Roy, and they'll do it. I think they'll play Auchinleck tomorrow, and I think they'll hopefully turn around.
Maxie's works hard at the game, and he's enthusiastic at the game, and we played them up there a few weeks back there, and they're 1-0 up, and they missed a penalty, and we got a fluke goal in the 93rd minute, and I'm glad I wasn't in the Rob Roy dressing room at the end of the game because Maxie wasn't a happy car. He wears his hat on his sleeves as a Maxie boy and he's a good junior manager.
I think he's involved in the new project for the new stadium and stuff like that. So he's in.
So you're lying to yourself, sort of thing. So you'll know what he's going through, isn't he, Andy?
I'm better looking, though.
That would be hard, though. Peter's Hill, they get a home defeat from Coburn the Ladeside. Now, there's a club, Coburn the Ladeside. They're starting to just creep away. They're picking up 3 points and moving away from the bottom. They're second bottom of that division. That jumps them above two now, and they're starting to pick points up quietly.
Massive 3 points for Coburn. I was talking to Paul Kelly last night, the co-manager at Peter's Hill, and he said it was a scrappy game. But when you look at the table now, the 3 points for Peter's Hill or Coburn last week were very, very important. I think Peter's Hill now are starting to look at what fixture they've got left and trying to pick out where they're going to get 3 points. They could still stay up. It's going to be a challenge, particularly after last week. Again, I think both teams got a man sent off in that game last week.
That was a 6-pointer last week, and then tomorrow's a 6-pointer again for Peter's Hill because they entertain Troon. So that's a huge game for both clubs.
For both clubs, yes.
Talking about Troon, they went to Paul last week and got a 0-0 draw at Pollock, which is a great result for Troon, getting a point from home. And if you're watching the YouTube of the game, one of the best saves I've seen a goalkeeper have.
I've seen it.
Scored Joe's save out of this world.
The most surprising thing for me about that result was that Pollock never scored. You look at Pollock's rich resources, the two McCann brothers, the boy Ford, McCluskey, and I'm pretty sure Anson and Fraser, Anson's his way to goal, they come off the bench. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the testament to Troon, I know they're about that great save, but Danny Boyle got man of the match last week in that game, who's a centre-back for Pollock, so Troon must have done something right.
Yes, I mean, there was chances for Troon as well, but we played Pollock 3 or 4 weeks back as well, and it was a similar game, it's pretty tight, went to penalty kicks in the West of Scotland that day, so two teams are pretty well matched, but a better point for Troon than it was for Pollock, I would say, last Saturday.
I would have thought so, yes. Yeah.
Moving into the Championship, a couple of games were off. The Dalryan, Kilsyth and Darvel and Athlone games off. But Irvine Vixie suffered a heavy home defeat from Neilson by 5-0. And Brian McCluckie's got a young team down there, and it's another team. At the start of the season, Brian was left with very few players because Stevie Wilson moved to Dawson Mountain Rovers and a couple of players followed him, as happens, as you know, Andy. But Neilson, since they've got a new management team in, they're starting to click again.
Neilson are a good side. Mm-hmm. To be fair, Irvine Victoria are a good football side as well. We played them earlier in the season. They played really well. They lost one of their key players to Irvine Meadow. I don't remember the boys. Aye, good player, and yeah, I think they miss him. But again, in that game last week, with Neilson, if boys like Paul Stewart are on fire, he scored 3 goals last week. A great player, and I think the boy Dayak and Cammy Haddo have chipped in with a goal each. Mm-hmm. But again, the score doesn't tell the full story for that game because Irvine Vicks end up with 9 men as well.
Once again,
it reinforces every single time you look, you go, how important discipline in these games.
100%.
However, Irvine and Neilson, I think, were 2-0 up before the first one. Uh-huh.
So it was a tight game for Irvine Vicks to go and try and get anything out of it at all. So we'll see what happens there tomorrow. Moving on to Larkhall Thistle. They get a 0-0 draw in their first point of the season against Whitlers Vicks.
I think for Larkhall, it's one of these situations when you look at a famous old club and you're looking at where they are in the league and some of the results they've had. And I suppose most people in the juniors would have thought, well done last week. Whitlis are a good side, and I don't know whether the boy Adam Forsyth was playing, because you expect him to score against anybody.
You do.
And we all due respect to Larkhall, and when you're looking at that fixture, you might think he's going to pick up a few goals. But fair play, Larkhall. You noticed that recently, the results were getting closer, which isn't, they're still losing the game, it wasn't great, but that's their first point, and maybe they'll kick on for there. We've got Whitlis tomorrow, so I wonder whether or not we're going to be facing a different animal a wee bit as a result.
Big physical side, Whitlis.
Ah, they're a good side. Yes, the good thing for us is the big boy at the back, Raymond Buchanan, he's suspended tomorrow.
Well, reliance on Raymond for a lot of set pieces and things like that, and Isaac Kerr.
He scored two against us the first time. They beat us 3-1, didn't they?
I hope that wasn't somebody with a big signing meeting trying to get hold of you there, was it?
What do you want me?
I asked if you could. That would be great. While we're doing that, I'll just keep looking at the next games. I've got East Kilbride game was off last week, and as I was saying earlier on at the top of the show there, that their manager, tomorrow will be the last game for their manager. He is now heading to Cambuslang Rangers next season, and he can leave there with great credit because he's worked very hard. But Greenock Juniors at home to Greenock Cairn last week, and they suffered a 6-1 defeat. Now, that proves to me how good a team that Cairn this season, because Greenock is a difficult place to go, and winning 6-1 there says it all.
Absolutely.
Gareth Cairn have changed a wee bit of the philosophy, I think, this season. I think for the last couple of seasons they were quite prominent on social media, they were quite prominent with after-match interviews. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember watching last season when Davey was getting a mic put under his nose, and probably some of the things he didn't like it. I should say at this point, actually, and I think a lot of people in juniors will echo my sentiment here, Davey's daughter hadn't been well for a long time.
Correct.
And she was getting better, but she's took a wee bad turn again. And I just want to say to Davey that everybody at St Rocks, and I'm pretty sure you'll echo that, John.
Correct.
Has you in your thoughts, and hopefully Caitlin's okay.
I didn't realise it happened, but I actually spoke to Davey a couple of weeks back, and he was telling me, and you're right.
Aye.
The whole of junior football, I'm quite sure, wish him best.
So we Davey had set a good foundation, as you mentioned earlier, for Gareth Cairn, Mackenzie just went in and made them even better. But I think the thing that stands out for me of that game is that Gareth Cairn has five different scorers in that game. McGuigan, Donnelly, Connolly, Shields, and the boy Ross get two towards the end. So they're scoring a lot of goals, but they're coming from a lot of different places, which makes them dangerous. What I would say, having looked at last week and the week before was a massive result for Gareth Cairn. They drew one each with shots, and what that means is a 6-point gap between them, with only three to go. They've not to play each other. So the league championship is very, very much in Gareth Cairn's hands now. I played shots recently and I thought they were very, very good. So Gareth Cairn must be a good side if they're above them.
The thing about it is, looking at the leagues as well, Gareth Cairn have only lost one league game, but yet they're a game more played than Shottesbourne Accord, and only 6 points in front of Shottesbourne Accord. So I just show you how good shots have been this season as well, just you're touching on there. Shots are a good side, and you say, so it's not up to shots to say, catches if you can, getting Gareth Cairn away there.
Well, Gareth Cairn away, as I said, after seeing shots against us, I thought they would go on and win that division, but fair play to Gareth Cairn, who in the last 2 weeks have had two big, big results.
Yeah. And a couple of games off, Lugar, Boswell, Thistle, Glasgow, Maryhill, Blantyre, and Maybole, Shottesbourne Accord was off. But one game that took place was Shettleston and Royal Albert, and it finished Shettleston 1, Royal Albert 2. Now, we spoke there about the management team moving the end of the season. They can certainly go with their heads held high, because that's a wee club that's been turned around this season, and it's great to see the junior football that happening.
Of course. They'll get a lot of plaudits, and Izzy won't mind me saying this, they'll get a lot of plaudits for winning that division last year, which was a fantastic achievement.
Mm-hmm.
But what I said earlier on about St Rocks, we were in a similar situation to Royal Albert in the bottom division and the lower end of the bottom division. Getting promoted last year, staying up this year is actually a bigger achievement, and they'll do that no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I think both of the boys will leave there as a success, and that's the only thing managers can ever hope for.
Yoker, who have been a bit of disappointment with my eyes this season, I thought we'd expect more. They got a heavy home defeat last week from Drustminton Rovers, but just speaking about Stevie Wilson taking these Irvine Vicks players, they have actually done very well this season. Drustminton Rovers going in there, and Winton Rovers are a great setup. It was a team I've managed myself in the years gone by, and now they've moved into second place, 5 points behind Gart, came with a game more played. So they're going to maybe not get promoted, but they'll have a big say in who is going to go up there, I think.
I think so. I've seen the result, and it's probably I'm surprised, to be honest, about Yoker, because again, they've always been a big club. They were challenging it apart last season in that division, but again, the results haven't been great, and I mean, fair play to Drossin.
Yes, I
have got to be challenging.
I've got to go, and Steve Wilson's brought a few good players in there, and Steve has taken a few players with him who he knows what they're like. He signed them for Irvine Vicks, and he's known them through Boys Club, etc. So it's going well for them, and they're keeping the pressure up there.
I was three go up. A good chance.
So just have to give in. So moving into League Two now, and Bank Ashfield game is off. Carluk 0, Lanark United 1. Now, Lanark United, they're doing great this season, top of that division. They've only lost one league game, thrown one game. And Carluk's another place, it's not the easiest place to go and get a result, and I'll be delighted how to get the 1-0 victory.
I mean, Carluk's obviously on the 4G pitch, so they play a different way, but I mean, Lanark are probably now the team to beat in that division. They've set their stall out, they're in the league. I was really impressed early on the season with the results of Les Mihaigo, particularly getting to that final. But Lanark have just kept going, and just by looking at the table, it's in their own hands, isn't it, to go in and win the division?
It is, and you're talking about Whitlitz earlier on, and when George Grierson was managing Whitlitz, I know they played them in the Scottish, I think it was, and they drew down there at Ayr, and then went back up and played at Lanark's ground, and Lanark beat them that day, and George spoke highly of Lanark, said they're a very, very good side.
I've never seen them play. All I've been seeing is the results, and if they keep going the way they're going in that division, then they'll be very hard to catch.
Mm-hmm. The only other game taking place in that division was down there in the Ayrshire at Seaside at Saltcoats, where Saltcoats defeated Ardeer 5-0. Now, this is two clubs that are really struggling this season, and I'm dumbfounded by Ardeer Thistle's demise, because a couple of seasons ago they were going great guns, and now they're rooted at the bottom of that division. They've only won some like three league games out of about 22.
Neither of the teams would ever have been on my radar. It's just the big guy Ava, who took over at Saltcoats Vix. He used to run AfroScot, which was a team, a collective of teams of boys with African background. By the way, they were a very good side. Yeah. He's took a lot of the boys down with him. It'll take them a wee while to settle in junior football.
The junior game, yep.
However, the only comfort they've got is there isn't any, obviously, any relegation in that league. But what they can certainly do is they can get boys in, get them a season under their belt, get that wee bit of experience in junior football, and I think they'll compete next year if they keep their boys.
Yeah, and I just sure they scored five goals, and that'll give them confidence for next week when who they take on it for tomorrow. But still looking back at last week, and finally we'll look into the Scottish Junior Cup. Andy and it's Craig Mark 0, Lochee 4. Not a surprise that Lochee went down there and won the game, but I know it was a tricky game, and it was 0-0 well into the second half, and Lochee scored, then Craig Mark lost the big centre half, he got ordered off, and just as you're speaking earlier on about discipline, the same happened once again there. So, but Lochee, they're the big hopes, well, the only hope now left coming through from the east, and they're sitting top of their division, and hopefully they're locked on out because they come to Troon in the quarterfinals.
I noticed that it was 70 minutes into the game, and it was still nothing each.
Yeah.
Craig Mark are hard to hit. We played Craig Mark early in the season, they beat us 2-0, deservedly. Funnily enough, we get a goalkeeper sent off in that game.
Huh?
But I would suggest that Lochee will have ambitions of getting to at least the final. I mean, last season in that semi-final, they beat Auchinleck in the first leg, I remember.
Yes.
And Auchinleck had to go to Dundee to beat them.
I think late goals or something like Auchinleck got last, the usual Talbot to go through.
Aye, but I think Lochee, potentially, they'll obviously get a very difficult tie in the next round, but potentially could go all the way.
I mean, they're a big setup through there, but yes, it'll be an interesting game. Girvan, who's struggling down in your division, Andy, they took a heavy home defeat from Clydebank. I mean, Clydebank, I've got to say, played us down at Troon and played us off the park and beat us 5-1 at Troon. I didn't, they were very impressive, but there's a wee bit of inconsistency in Clydebank. When they're on their song, they're a great side, and they proved that last Saturday, going down to Girvan, which the park down at Girvan sometimes can be a leveller because it's wide open, the elements are on there for you and things like that. So,
Of the games that happened last week, I think when you look into them, the Clydebank was the only game probably that went pretty straightforward. I think Clydebank were 3-0 up before Girvan scored, and then went on to win the game. Now, Clydebank, I saw them against the Largs a few weeks ago when we were going out to watch Largs. Excellent, excellent side. They've got Nicky Little and Hepburn, who both got a double last week.
Yeah.
The boy Shelby.
We
spoke to the boy Sean Higgins before the season started to have you to maybe bringing him in as a player, coaches and rocks, and he decided to go to Clydebank and watched him as well, and he's a fantastic player. So Clydebank have got all of the potentials to be I suppose fighting at the top end of the Premier League. So I don't suppose that result maybe surprised many.
No, I didn't. And they'll get the boys, boy McLear, they've got Wade in the right, who's
they're a good side.
They'll get players that can hurt you. They certainly do have.
Aye, and saying that, Largs went on to beat them that day 2-1. We had to watch them. So again, Largs re-emphasised how good a side they were.
Yep. And in our close game was Hurlford United 4, Rossvale 3. Now that was in the replay after the drop at Rossvale, but that didn't surprise me because Gordon Moffat's got a great side at Rossvale last season.
Rossvale get a good side. They've got particularly good players. Big Moff and Drew are doing a good job. But the boy that I like is the boy McGonigal, who scored a hat trick last week. He plays wide right. He can play on the other side as well. Boy Hunter on the centre of the park is a very good player. And they've improved this season, and they've recently brought in, I think, Chris Duffy, Gambus Lang.
Yep.
Again, when you look at that game, however, it's that whole thing about how important discipline is, because with 11 minutes to go, Hurlford are 1-4-1. They get a man sent off, and McGonigal scores in the 80th, and then the 82nd minute, they make it 4-3, and it's a wee bit squeaky bum time for Hurlford. Again, people forget that Rossfield drew him in the first leg, so it's the assumption always is that the so-called smaller team will struggle, but Rossfield are showing that they competed well against Hurlford.
That's right, and I'm quite sure Darren Henderson knew what he's in for, because Darren's a true professional, but you've got to remember, Rossfield went through to Tayport and beat Tayport, something like 5-1 in the early rounds, and then they put Lanark United out with the team I'm speaking of, this is a good side. So they've had a good cup run this year in Rossvale.
Well, I mentioned Lochee, want to go one better.
Uh-huh.
the other team who wants will certainly want to go one better will be Hurlford. If you're winning 1-0 in the Scottish Cup final in 90 minutes and you lose it, then I was actually no surprised at the start they had to the season, because every single time I'm pretty sure Dan would have been in and saying 2 minutes for glory and spurred the boys on. So
I think it was the first 11 games or something they went undefeated.
Even the response after losing that final, I thought last year was very impressive, going on to win the West of Scotland Cup and stuff like that. So hats after them, and they'll be challengers for both big honours this year.
Yep. Well, that's us look back at most of last week. So we've got 10 minutes or so left. Let's have a look forward to what's happening tomorrow and what good games can pick out tomorrow, Andy. And first one we see is Auchinleck Talbot, the team who covered in junior football with nothing but glory for the last few weeks, and unfortunate last week at Tynecastle. They're well beaten, but not disgraced.
I watched their game. I only seen part of the game against Hearts last week, and after the first couple of goals went in, there was only going to be 1-1. Yeah. You don't recognise how big and strong the SPL clubs are, and you heard Tucker talking last week about them being giants. Mm-hmm. It says a lot. For Craig Levine to go and watch Auchinleck against Petershill, it means that he's done his job properly, and fair play to Auchinleck. Everybody in junior football wanted to win last week, and it's a testament, and they're the benchmark to everybody.
Of course, sir.
So what I'm going to say to you is going to sound a bit strange, because tomorrow I think that... Tucker will laugh at me saying this, but I think probably the best time to play Auchinleck ever would be tomorrow. Uh-huh. They'll try not to be, but they'll be deflated naturally. And with Rob Roy losing last week, I think there could be a wee shock there. I think could be a wee draw. I know Max went there before, so if I was going to bet them more, I would say of all the games that I would think Auchinleck might be a wee bit susceptible to losing points, it could be tomorrow.
Interesting, Andy. I'll watch that very closely.
John Sweeney, late equaliser, right?
Oh, right. Oh, you name the goal scorer. Can you name the crowd when you're at it, no? I'll look at that result very closely tomorrow night at 4:30 or however it comes in. Cambuslang Lang Rangers, they entertain Pollock tomorrow, so it's another step in the rebuilding job.
I don't know about that one again. See, with the new boys coming in, obviously they've all got a lift, and you can keep that going. I was surprised they went 9 men. It was only 1-0 last week. But they'll come to a point when normality will settle in, yep. And it could be tomorrow. However, Alan Patterson knows his stuff, and he's got a lot of contacts. We played against his team last year, and some really, really good players. He has his team playing the right way. Tomorrow, I'll say Paul will
get a victory. The day of the match in that game is Clydebank at home to Glenafton. Now, any neutral in that kind of area, I think, should take that game in, because I think it'll be a cracker. Clydebank coming off that 7-1 victory, Glenafton coming in off a 1-0 victory over Kilwinning Rangers. Mm-hmm. How do you see that in going?
Again, having seen Clydebank very recently, I'm very, very, very impressed. Mm-hmm. I think home advantage for Clydebank, with the lift of going into the quarterfinals, I would take Clydebank tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Hurlford, after their exploits last week, getting through to the semi-final, entertain Cumnock. Now, Cumnock got their first victory under Paul Bond, we were speaking earlier on. Do you think that'll give them the confidence to go to Hurlford and keep the run going? I think Hurlford's got too much in the locker for them.
I'm sure it will, but Hurlford are now getting that situation where you start looking over your shoulder. The 11 games in, I'm pretty sure Dan Henderson would have been no fooled that particularly others will come back, particularly Auchinleck. So Hurlford, I think, are maybe running out of space to have space for errors. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, I would take Hurlford to win the game more.
Okay. Irvine Meadow, the team we spoke earlier about, the form team, they entertain Renfrew. Now, you said they get two players in, also they might have two couple of players suspended again down there.
Renfrew, again, impressed. They've had decent results. As I say, when you look at the forum for that division, Irvine Meadow are joint top with 5 wins out of 6. Mm-hmm. Renfrew need points. They get... I'll sit in the fence and go a draw that game.
Alright. You must be a Renfrew fan. Come on, the Lakeside, who say they're starting to pick the points up, they've got a big huge derby tomorrow at home to Beath. Now, that's the one that attracts a lot of attention.
Aye. Beath are obviously going to be favourites in that game. Coburnley have had a decent result last week up at Petershill. I'm not sure if... Do you think Beath have got enough on points-wise to challenge for the title? It's difficult to say.
Difficult. I think maybe they'll just...
So again, you look to say... I know it's going to sound daft for Beath people, but who's it more important to them, Mora? Because Coburnley probably need the points more. I'm going to go a draw again.
Draw again, right. So that's you.
Fixed odds.
I could fix odds, Coop, tomorrow. Rob Roy, 2 draws so far. Yeah, that's good. Another good game tomorrow is the Scottish Cup dress rehearsal. Clonan Rangers versus Largs Thistle.
Neither of the teams are what I can imagine a few fringe players being involved in that game for both teams. Clonan's at home, aren't they?
Yes.
I would try and put myself in my shoes, what I would do in that situation. There's two things you can go. You go and try and win the game convincingly so that you've got that wee bit of momentum, or you try and hide your cards a wee bit. I think both Arnie and Chris will know enough about each other that they won't have got away with doing that. So, I having watched Largs very recently, there's a couple of players in particular, a lot of good players. The boy Ben Black for me is an outstanding player.
Uh-huh.
And Matt Mullen and Madeleine Park, superb. Coenan's got some decent stuff running, but I think Coenan might shade it at home, so we'll go Coenan one.
Go Coenan. Well, Andy, there goes the final whistle for tonight. It's flown past.
Rock Sport Radio, Scotland's only mix of rock and sport.